Chronicles 20:20, where it says, "Believe God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper." Prosper spiritually with God's wisdom, with God's understanding, and everything else will fall into place. All right, so we're going after the heart of God. King David was a man after God's own heart, and that's the type of people we want to be. People that are after God's heart. What's God's ways? What's God's will? What's God's solutions for this world's problems? What's God's solutions for my problems in this world? And how can I live above them? And how can then I be a blessing to other people? God said to Abraham, "I have blessed you so you can be a blessing." See, it's not about us. It's all about God. And God blesses us so we can be a blessing to other people, that we can bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others and set them free, and set them on the path to living and learning and walking with the one true God, and learning how to apply what God wants them to apply so they can reap what God wants them to reap. And what you sow is what you reap. What you sow into your life is what you're going to reap. If you're sowing bad things, if you're sowing dishonesty, if you're sowing all the wrong things, or this world's wisdom ways, then you're going to reap these world wisdom ways. What you sow, you shall reap. So, you know, if you're going to sow orange seeds, you're not going to get apple seeds. So if you want apple seeds, you sow apple seeds, right? Simple as that. It's a very normal process. It's a very simple process. And we sow for the things that we want. You know, if you want mercy, you know, sow mercy. Give other people mercy. If you want to be loved, be loving. If you want to be blessed, be a blessing to someone else. And this is how it works. This is God's laws, right? In the world's way, is you get what you get for you, and you benefit you, and screw everyone else at their cost and at their demise. But that's not the heart of God. God is for every man. He wants all men to be saved. From every tongue, nation, and language, he wants all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. And he is no respecter of persons, but he that reverences God and worships as God is accepted with God. He's not a respecter of anyone. But when we get hold of the heart of God and go after his heart and do what he says for us to do, then we're going to be really blessed. The truth is, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings now we're born again of God's Spirit. We do have the faith of Christ, but like Becky says, that has to be activated in us through our response, by not being conformed to this world, but by being that living sacrifice unto God. You know, you don't want any part or attributes of these worlds. You want God's ways. You've been a part of it. It hasn't done you much good. It's given you strife and struggles, right? Some people sell for life and they're fine. Oh, I don't need God. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I got good friends, you know, and I'm kind and I'm generous. But do they have eternal life? God says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So it's not all about money. But if we're going to move God's word, it's going to take finances also. And God has put principles on there for us to sow and reap with the right heart, with the right mind. And like Becky said, God is not going to give us something that we can't handle. He's a loving God. And he's not going to give me great wealth if I can't handle it. Now, the devil can bless in this world as well. He can give finances, but there's always a price. There's always a consequence. I mentioned before, you see the people that win the lottery and stuff like that, they're all happy celebrating with their champagne, and you know, they go and buy their yachts and cars, and all of a sudden they're broke. All of a sudden they've lost their relationships. But if we do the things right with God, and do it with God, with his heart, then we can benefit ourselves, and we can benefit other people, and we can benefit and be a blessing to the world. And in Genesis 8:22, God set this up, and he says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease while the earth remains." Can I ask you a question? Is the earth still remaining today?
Yeah,
it is. So this is still in play, right? While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. We have seed. There's a time for us to sow that seed. There's a time of waiting, and then there's a time of harvesting, right? Harvesting what we sow. So when you sow a seed, you're not going to get a benefit straight away, but your harvest is already guaranteed because you've sown the seed. And that's the point. God needs us to sow, whether it's with our words, with our actions, with our time, with our money, with our relationships. We need to sow good seed, alright? So that the people and us are blessed and benefited. Go to Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, chapter 11. So, what kind of seeds have you been sowing? What seeds have you been sowing? Where have you been sowing them? And what heart have you been sown with? Have you been sown with expectation? Now, Becky was mentioning that she, you know, she doesn't get to receive, and that's great. But she will receive because she sows seed, right? And that's the heart we, you know, we're given unto God because we want to honour God. We want to be that sweet-smelling saviour. We want an act of giving to God, honouring God with our finances is an act of worship. And so that's the heart we're doing it with. But we can also expect from God. He gives us benefits. God says in Psalms 103, forget not all my benefits. He has blessed us so much. And we can continue in these blessings. So in Proverbs chapter 11, and it says in verse 24, it says, there is that scattereth seeds, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. See, if you're liberal in scattering your seeds, then you're going to increase. But if you hold more than what's due, it tends to poverty. Oh, farmer has seed, and he's like, I'm only going to sow a tiny bit. He's going to get a small harvest. Okay, he's going to get a small harvest. It'd be big in the comparison to what he sowed, but it won't be as big if he was generous and liberal with his sowing. Can you see? And so there's wisdom here in writing these words. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that holdeth more than that is me, but it tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. They're sowing freely. There's no holding back. There's no holding back with, well, I better be careful with that seed. But you know the ground, you sow it, and you do it freely. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also. You give, you're going to be given to. Even Jesus Christ used a principle where it says, you know, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall man give back into your bosom. As you give, so shall you receive. That type of thing, right? He that withholdeth the corn, you know, what the people need, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth. You've always got something to give. You've got to be sold out to sell. Right, we got the gospel of Jesus Christ to sow. Okay, that's the seed of the word of God. When we speak that word, it's going into the hearts of people. Even Paul, the apostle Paul says, you know, I have planted, Apollos planted, I have watered, but God gives the increase. See, whatever seed you sow, it's God that's going to give the increase. Someone's got to sow it, someone's got to water it, but God is the one that increases it. And he will increase it to you as you give. So God wants us in a heart of being liberal and free. God said that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his best. He gave his best, Jesus Christ. When we honour God, we should give our best, from the best heart, from the best mind, from the best of our increase, from the first fruits. The first fruits, when they gave in the Old Testament, was the best. So when they gave from the cattle, it was the best cattle that they gave. When Abraham honoured God with his tithes, it was the best. He gave the best of the spoils to Melchizedek. When we give the best, because we're not, our heart is not trusting in our worldly material possessions. But our heart is trusting and honouring the one true God. And this is what God said. This is the heart. We can see the heart of the people in the Bible and how they honoured God. God said to Isaac, don't go to Egypt like everyone else is going to Egypt because there's a famine and everyone was running off to Egypt. But God said to Isaac, he said, don't go to Egypt like everyone else. You stay put. And there was a famine, right? No rain, no nothing. It was dry. There's no rain in a famine, right? There's no, nothing grows in a famine. There's no food in a famine. And so because Isaac obeyed God, it says Isaac sowed seed in that time of famine, and God prospered it and blessed him 100-fold. 100-fold. Right, so God is able to produce for us what we trust in, no matter what the world economic situation is going on. When we trust him with our full heart and do what he says. Isaac was told by God, stay here. And Isaac obeyed. And then when he sowed, he was blessed because he was obedient to God. God rewards the obedience, the heart to him. And so this is the heart of God. God says in Isaiah that he makes rivers to run in the desert. In a desert there's no water, but God can make rivers to run in a desert. And where there's a wilderness, there's no way, there's no direction, but God can make a way in the wilderness. So it says God makes a way in the wilderness and rivers to run in the desert. So if you've got a financial desert going on, a business desert going on, God can make a river run through it. He can make it prosperous, he can turn it around. But you honor God, and you put God first. If your family is struggling on poverty line, start to honor God. It seems crazy in the world, or you haven't got it to give. No, where's your act of faith? Take an act of faith and trust the one true God. He will bless you in times of famine, in times of hard times, and in the good times. And he will make you a blessing. Like he said to Abraham, I have blessed you so you can be a blessing. We are blessed, and we can be a blessing because God says so. You go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I just picked out a few scriptures to look at in connection with sowing and reaping. Because we want to get this into our hearts, so we have to keep revisiting and looking at different angles and how God's showing us. So the word of God is seed, by the way. So what we're sowing now, we will reap later as we practice and do this. That's why when you come to a fellowship and you're hearing the word of God, whether it's a fellowship in the high street or in a stadium, it's good to listen. What is God sowing into you now? Because down the road is going to reap a blessing in your life if you take heed and if you do it and you take it to heart, right? We got to believe it. That's like when you believe the word, it's like watering a seed. Because a seed won't grow without water, right? It's got to be, but first that seed has to die. And then there's a period, then it starts to bud and grow. And then it starts to blossom and bloom, break through the ground. And then it's, see, the abundance is not, if I plant an apple tree seed and I get an apple tree, the abundance is not the apple, it's the seed within the apple. That's what God multiplies. God multiplies the seed sown. So like, I might get a tree's life expectancy, say, is 20 years, and I might get 5,000 apples within that 20 year period. I might think, well, I sowed one seed and I got 20,000 apples. No, you didn't. You sowed one seed, you got 20,000 apples, but within each apple there's 4 or 5 seeds within each apple. So how many seeds did you get back? That's the principle. So if we look at it with that kind of heart as well, we can see God really wants to bless us. If we follow his ways, if we follow his principles, he will bless us. And it takes time. You have to begin somewhere. Like with speaking in tongues, you begin. And then you start to speak in tongues. And as you practice it, you increase the more, right? It's very simple. The word of God is so simple, easy to be entreated. And if we decide that we're going to focus and really put to practice what we're learning, we will reap at the right time. In Galatians it says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. What a man sows, that shall he reap. And then there's another scripture in the same record where it says, be not weary, or get tired in well doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. See, when a farmer sows, he knows he's not going to get his harvest the next morning, right? There's a time for sowing, and then he knows after a couple of months, 3 months, 4 months, there's a time of harvesting. He knows when to go and harvest because he's read the time of seed. He's learned his seasons of sowing and reaping. Can you see? This subject really excites me. There's just so much we can learn from it. You know, and a farmer, if you want to learn about sowing seeds, go and visit any farmer. You know, come up round Puckle Church, there's many farmers there. Go knock on the door and say, I'm just doing research on about sowing and reaping. Could you tell me how the process works? And you can learn from the farmer. The farmer knows these principles. Even a farmer, if he doesn't know the word of God, when you start teaching on this subject, he'll know that you're right. See, because it's a principle that God set up for everyone. And we can do it. We can either do it by our senses for our own need, or we can do it unto God. We do it unto God, it's going to have God's blessings on it, and it's going to be very prosperous. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 it says, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. So really, when you sow your seed, it's like casting it upon the water. After many days, it's going to return a harvest to you. Verse 4 of the same chapter, he that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. If you look at your circumstances, like regarding the wind, like he that regards the wind shall not sow. For us today, it's like looking at our circumstances. I can't sow, I'm just not in a position to sow, or I can't do this. But we've got to take an act of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we don't regard our circumstances, but we regard the one true God. See, we trust in him, that he knows our heart with what we're doing the things with, all right? And it says, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap.
Oh, I don't know. Well, everything else has gone wrong for me, you know, in this world. I'm not even going to go and check the field.
And somebody else is going to go and reap his field. Verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So just get out there sowing and reaping, you know. And there's many areas you can sow and reap, not just financially, all right? But God is likening our giving and receiving to agriculture farmer as he sows his seed. And when we sow a financial seed, Paul was referring to this, then God is able to multiply that, just like the apple seed. One seed, a tree, many apples, but within each apple there's many more seeds. So that's multiplication. And 100-fold doesn't necessarily mean 100 times. For example, a cow, when it mates, will have one calf a year. The life expectancy of a cow is 9 to 13 years, say. So probably from that one cow, I'm just speculating, you probably get 10 cows, right? 10 calves. Is that 100 times? No, but it's the best possible return. 100-fold biblically is the best possible return. So it's perspective. We've got to look at it with perspective. Okay, Hosea. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, sow to yourself in righteousness. I love this. Reap in mercy. Sow yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Break up the fallow ground, make it ready to receive. And that's where we sow. Okay, Matthew Mark. Again, like I said, you can go and work this subject yourself, and I'm just giving you the scriptures, go and have a look up yourself. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29 says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in his sickle, because the harvest is come. So there's going to be a time of your sowing, a time for that seed to grow, and then there's going to be a time for reaping. And that's why we're not weary in well-doing when we sow. You know, we just keep doing, we keep being faithful, following what God's shown us to do, and at the right time and in due time, we shall reap if we faint not. That we don't give up, don't think it's not worked for us. Because it says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Okay, John chapter 4. So we're looking at all these things now, and I'm just giving you bits and pieces, but we will be putting this all together in a series of teachings that's really going to be comprehensive for us and our heart and mind, so we can understand it. But right now I'm just sowing these scriptures into your heart so that you can see God's heart, and then you can go and do a word study yourself. You can use Google. There's many different research tools you can use by searching the words, seeing where they all are. John chapter 4, verses 36, and it says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Isn't that gorgeous? Okay, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labour, other man's labour, and ye are entered into their labours. See? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 6 it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, that word sparingly is stingily. If you look at the Greek word, it's stingily. He that soweth stingily, okay, shall reap also stingily. But he that soweth bountifully, okay, shall reap also bountifully. But
If you look at the Living Bible translation and other translations, you also get the sense and the understanding that Paul is equating the giving and receiving to a farmer sowing his seed. Okay, and this is in the context of giving financially, right? You never give out of a need. You don't give out of what you need. Like the Bible says that God gives bread for your food and seed to sow. So we eat the bread, but we don't eat our seed. What God has given you to sow, sow it and be generous with your sowing. I really encourage that, because if a farmer's going to be stingy with his seed, then he isn't going to get the harvest that he desires. So there's a lot of things to think about there, a lot of different angles to work on, but you'd be fully persuaded in your own mind. Then there's Haggai, the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 6. It says, "You have sown much and bring in little." That seems to contradict what we just said about sowing and reaping, right? But let's carry on reading. It says, "You have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into bags with holes." He was saying, look, you're doing all these things, and even the money you get, it seems like you put it into a bag with holes. You know, it's just disappearing. It's going nowhere. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." He's saying, consider what you're doing. Consider how you're living. Consider how you're thinking. Consider why this is happening. Consider why it is like you're putting in money into a bag with holes. Consider why you're eating and it's not enough. Consider it. Consider your ways. Consider how you're living, right? "Go up to the mountain and bring food and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord of hosts." Reads verse 11. "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it." God blew upon what they were doing. "Why, saith the Lord of hosts?" And then he tells them, "Because of my house that is waste, and you run every man unto your own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called," this God, he said, "I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon man, and upon cattle, and upon all the labours of thine hand." God called for that. And the reason why he done that is because his house wasn't being built, and people were just interested in building their own little houses, building their own cosy lives, and he was being neglected. But this carry on reading what it says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Joshua, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the word of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." He's a loving God. Even though he blew upon their stuff, he wanted to get their attention. He wanted them to consider their ways and why their needs weren't getting met, why they weren't satisfied. "And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God, in the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king." And if you read that, it's just two chapters, and it's absolutely wonderful. So God reproved them. He told them why they weren't prospering. He told them what to do about it. He said, concentrate on my house, and then everything else is falling into place. And that's why we seek first the kingdom of God. When we put him first in every department of our lives, and we learn to do that, then he's going to bless and prosper us. Okay, today we build the body of Christ. We are the house of God. We are the temple of the living God. And God wants us to preach his gospel. He wants us to win souls, people that are lost. Like in Venezuela, there's lots of poverty there right now. And God can change that whole nation around. He's someone to go and tell them. And they listen. They will listen because of their need. And they turn their hearts to the one true God. God can turn it around like he can do in any nation. And people today, they're living this way. They earn much and they're putting it into a bag with holes. God's blowing upon it. He wants their attention. He loves them. And they're going the wrong way. They're being blinded by the God of this world. and God wants their hearts. So he's a loving God, and he's got ways to communicate to people and get their attention, and it's usually through the poverty of the things. Like the children of Israel, they were in bondage for over 400 years in Egypt, and then they cried to God, and God heard their cry and sent Moses in there. They labored. They had taskmasters under them. They hardly rest. 400 years with no wages. But when they turned to God and God's man come, and God sent his prophet there, Moses, and God led them out of there with all the gold, all the silver. And then he led them about in the wilderness for 40 years because they weren't humble. He wanted to see what was in their hearts. He wanted them to see what was in their hearts. And then they got into the promised land. The promised land was flowing with milk and honey. Right, they went in and possessed that land. They didn't build the houses, they didn't do the vineyard, the work for it. Somebody else done that. They went and took it because it was theirs, and God blessed them with it. So, can you see the principles of the thing? God needs to be first. We need to seek him with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. And then there's other records you can write down. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 11 to 12. And while you're writing that down, I'll go to 1 Corinthians. But see, this is great, you know, because the serious mind word plug will take the time that we're taking, drive their minds to learn, because we want to get what God wants us to have. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through to 7, it says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." God is the one that gives the increase. God is a good God. He loves everyone in the world. It's not his heart for anyone to go without. God has given enough resources in the world to every man, woman, and child in the world today. 7.4, 7 billion or whatever it is, can be prosperous. But then you have the God of this world who works through the systems of this world, like your politicians, your dictators, that hold those resources from the people. And it's devilish. And it's not God's heart. God is a good God. He's a God of light. In him is no darkness at all. He's a good God. And people need to turn to the one true God, the living God. He's created heaven and earth. All the gold's his, all the silver's his, everything's his. Even though the devil's the God of this world, he doesn't own the earth. It's God's earth and the fullness thereof. It's God's, and we need to go back to the living God. And he has shown mercy, he has come for it. He wants your hearts turned to him. Point is, we don't want to be on the world's economy. We want to be on God's economy. And this is why we're teaching this stuff also, to get God's heart, mind, and perspective, and to do what he says. We don't want hand out from the governments. But we want a hand up from our one true God so that we can be a blessing. And the truth is, we are blessed and we can be a blessing. But what about the era of finance? Are we a blessing in the era of finance? If we're not, we can be if we follow his rule. So God really wants us to be a blessing, and we can. And we need to get rid of the dark understanding of this world's ways in our minds and practices, and start to learn God's ways and mind and practices, how he wants us to do it. And if we do it and trust him, your whole he will benefit you first, so that you can really bless. But you've got to trust him, and that's where the faith comes.